Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of Studio G as we sit here with Lori Beth Jones, the writer of Jesus CEO, where she rolls out for us the concept of the Omega Leader. And here at Studio G, we were taking that concept and exploring what that had, what the implications are for leadership, particularly women in leadership. So I want to say welcome to everyone. Welcome, Lori Beth Jones.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Welcome, Vicki, representing the business pillar.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
And welcome, Shelley, our distance learner from Phoenix, Arizona, representing the business and education pillars. Hello, Shelley.
Hey, everybody. Good to be here.
So, Lori, tonight we're exploring the idea of equality and what that looks like for the Omega Leader, but I'm probably guessing that you want to kind of take the ball and carry it and maybe share with us, what is the Omega Leader?
The Omega Leader is someone who incorporates both the alpha, authoritative style of leadership, cooperative style of leadership. So the alpha and the beta, and the omega is the culmination of both of those, the best of both of those, and it is what Jesus used, always connected to the higher power, which is God.
So tonight we're exploring what that concept looks like in terms of equality. And as Shelley was kind of preparing a description, I'm just going to read directly what she says because it's so well stated. It says, when Jesus arrived on the historical scene, most people were still considered to be impure, some because of their deeds, some because of their race. Women were impure at least once a month. Anyone who ate pork was impure. How does an Omega Leader approach equality?
Well, we've been having quite a lot of pre-show discussion today. We've been together, what, an hour and a half over dinner and then preparing. And equality and equity were kind of the topic of our pre-dinner conversation. And there's going to be some deep questions around that. But I want to start with the story first. Why I wrote this chapter in Jesus CEO is because I had the benefit of working with Catherine Calhoun, who was on one of our earlier shows, and she was my boss at the time. We've been friends now for 30-plus years. But I watched her as the leader. She was one of the founding CEO of the Women's Resource Center at the YWCA. And she would come in, and she knew the receptionist's name and their kid's name, and she treated everybody as if they were this incredible human being. And if she was going to ask the secretary to type something, she would say, do you have time for this? And then the secretary would take it and then bring it into her. And those were the old days before computers. And Catherine would just say, oh, this is just a work of art. And so everybody felt really good in her presence. And when it came time to go to lunch, everybody wanted to go to lunch. Well, Catherine, after 3 years, resigned to start her own consulting firm. And the woman who replaced her as leader was the exact opposite. She went into her office and closed the door. She issued memos. She barked orders at people. Nobody wanted to stay after to help her with projects. And it was just such a stark contrast of two female leaders and the way they treated people. They were both professional women, but Catherine demonstrated the Omega leadership style and got people to go the extra mile. And the other woman could barely get people to go to lunch with her. So I saw firsthand the difference of what it's like when you don't treat people in the workplace as your equals in terms of being of respect. Mm-hmm. Everyone deserves respect. So that's my definition of an Omega leader, showing equal respect to people regardless of their title. Now, Vicki, I think you had a very deep question, so let's go there
yeah,
first.
Yeah, we were laughing about it because probably because it's my second language, I always try to see if I got the concept of the word. And I was asking what would be the difference between equity and equality. And we look at the dictionary, and equity was the Latin for fair, just, or impartial. And Elisa was giving us an example of how in education equality and equity will show a difference in the way you treat the students. you want to check?
Well, we were kind of debating back and forth, and there were several definitions of equity, and equality is straightforward. It's of sharing the same quality. It's equal. It has the same nature, the same characteristics. And equity is based on the idea of fairness and injustice, and I was sharing that in education we have a little bit of a different spin on it. In a classroom, and I think I'm presenting from a teacher's paradigm, but I think it obviously also applies to a leader as well, as a leader is working with her team. The equality in a classroom would be, I've got my student Lori with me, and I have my student Vicky with me, and I'm going to give them exactly the same treatment. I'm going to give them the same resources. I'm going to give them the same level of support. There's no regard for their starting point. I am just automatically applying the same level of effort and instruction to both of them. Mm-hmm. Equity would say that I would differentiate my approach to them based on their need, based on their learning style, based on their challenges, based on their experience, based on their background. Not unlike what you propose through the elements. As an Omega leader interacts with her team and interacts with others, you do that through the lens of the elements in order to leverage the strengths and to bring out the best in other people around her. And so a good teacher doesn't treat students equally. She treats students with equity because she gives them what they need and starts from where they are and then leverages their strengths in order to get them to where they need to be.
Kelly, you want to weigh in on this?
Well, I was just listening to that very cool definition and listening to your expository, Lori, there at the beginning. And one of the things that jumped out at me was, and maybe you're going to get to this in a little bit, but when everybody on the team or everybody in the organization or in the department or in the classroom is equal and you lead by consensus, that's a great way. How does the Omega leader maintain that respect? How did Catherine maintain the respect that she needed in order to lead by consensus? How does that develop when everybody on the team has an equal voice, an equal part, they're stepping together, they're looking to the leader, but the leader's leading in consensus. How does respect get maintained?
Well, for Catherine, she was so clear on the vision. You know, she had written the draft for what the Women's Resource Center would be and what it would do, and she also had the privilege of hiring her team. So she picked people, she handpicked people who she felt would demonstrate and live out that mission of providing resources. It was the Women's Resource Center. So I think the respect was, number one, she did get to handpick her people, and number two, she was very clear about the mission, and she picked people who wanted to be a part of that mission and vision. Everybody, we were making minimum wage. We had PhDs there, and we had new moms that were, you know, empty nesters and newlyweds. It was just an amazing 3 years. It's one of the best training times I have ever had in my life of watching leaders work. And she also worked within an area. She had to answer to the CEO of the Women's Resource Center of the YWCA. And there was no small challenge there because they had very different definitions of equality.
And speaking of definitions of equality, in spite of our pre-show discussion and my lengthy discourse on equity versus equality, I've recently had an aha moment that really what we're talking about equality here, it's assigning equal status and equal worth to everyone.
Right.
It's really about status. And in an organization, on a team, it's really a challenge, I think, to treat everybody equally, to treat everybody with the same level of regard as if they had the same status. What are some challenges that you've come across in your work that Omega leaders face in executing that?
Well, as I shared in our pre-show discussion, this week I was in Tampa, Florida, with a pastor and his wife and they had done the elements with their three girls, aged 5 through 13. And they said that they just loved how each of the girls got their element and how clear they were about their power. And the mother is a PhD, very sharp, and she said, yes, everybody has power in the family, but not everybody has equity. She said, I am still the mother. And so it was a great example of status, and not everybody does have it. I mean, not everybody has equity, even though people can be equal, mm-hmm. treated with respect. In the owner, mm-hmm. the owner who has equity in the company, they have a little more say over how things are done regarding their property as opposed to someone who is a tenant or someone who is a visitor or a guest. So I think Jesus was very aware of the equity of status and also was moving towards an egalitarian society where he said, you're my brother and sister. We all have power. Mm-hmm. So that was very controversial because the religious Jews wanted that hierarchy and they wanted status. And we were also talking earlier in the show about equality among races, and I read a study once that said that every race shows socioeconomic caste systems. So even within the minority races, they still will treat people of the same race differently based on their socioeconomic status. And I've seen this firsthand in multiple cultures and experienced it myself. Mm-hmm. So they said really the true discrimination is usually socioeconomic and not just race or gender. So mm-hmm. that's a whole other level of discussion.
That's a lot of conversation, yeah. Well, and I guess that kind of leads to one of the other questions I had. You know, we talked about, you know, I guess you just explained what are those hierarchies, and one hierarchy that still exists is the socioeconomic. And in Shelley's introduction, she alluded to those that were impure in the Old Testament or those that were impure in Jesus' time. One might say the marginalized mm-hmm. or the disenfranchised. Who do you think are the people that struggle being treated with equality beyond socioeconomic? What are other types of people that are truly not treated equal within our society's hierarchy?
Well, you can look at minorities, gays, women. People could argue people, the learning disabled or the mentally challenged, the elderly. I mean, there's anybody who does not have equal resources and equal skill sets is really disenfranchised in some sense. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've recently encountered a lot or seen firsthand how someone with marginal intelligence is on that fine line between falling out of the system just because of a 2-point difference between the IQ, not being able to maybe pass a driver's license test, which means that she's relegated to working with, you know, taking the bus to work, which means that sometimes she's late to work, which means she could lose her job, and then she becomes homeless. You know, all those different things. It's a very fine line. And I want to shift the conversation just a little bit here towards my friend David Miller, who is the founder of the Princeton Initiative on Faith and Work, and he just sent me an invitation that April the 2nd, they're having a discussion called Civilizing the Economy, and they're using as the talking point the Pope's recent encyclical on truth in love, or love in truth. And so this caused me a great deal of thought, provoked a lot of thought in me, and so I sent him a series of emails this morning, and I said, be sure that someone on the panel asks these questions. Number one, what does the Catholic Church think about women in leadership in business? And are people aware that studies have shown that when there are women on the boards of Fortune 500 companies, they outperform male-only board members by up to 53% to 63% to 43% on return on economics, return on investment, and return on sales. And you can Google women and financial performance and get that study. and also the Haitian food distribution. The United Nations and the World Food Bank are quoted as saying that they distribute food to the women because experience has shown that the women will distribute it equally even among the men. And Muhammad Yunus, who was one of the founders of microfinance, they have long found that when men get economic, when they would loan money to the men would use it for improving the status among their peers or alcohol. And when they loaned it to the women would make sure that the roofs were on the house, that schools got built, and that the village was empowered. So, and these are studies and statistics on when given equal resources to men, they use it this way, and to women, they use it this way. Well, when you look at the financial institutions that are largely driven by men, and you see them getting their big bonuses and their yachts that are 1 foot longer, mm-hmm. or buildings that are 2 feet higher than the others, you have to ask the question, why are women not more represented equally in these institutions? And so I think it's a fair question for not only financial institutions but religious institutions, when we now have documented studies on ethical performance and the equal distribution and the more fair distribution of resources when women have access to that power. So I'm on a rant, but I just want that until women are represented equally,
mm-hmm.
until we get equity,
mm-hmm.
there's not really equality.
Absolutely.
Equity in the religious institutions, equity in the financial institutions, equity in representation.
Mm-hmm.
The African saying is women hold up half the sky,
mm-hmm.
and yet we are given one-tenth of the resources. So equity, equality. You cannot have equality without equity.
Okay. No, you can't. Absolutely not. I think equity is the step, is the scaffold to equality.
Yes, yes. And so I just think having discussions about it and without addressing that infrastructure inequality,
mm-hmm.
is, the world suffers. We have seen how the world has suffered by the shenanigans of these boards where women were not represented in leadership. And what they've shown in this catalyst study was that you need three women on the board to really make a difference. So it's not just
so
the token
power, yeah.
It's not just a token woman. You've got to have some critical mass there to make a difference in saying, hey, do we really have to do it that way? Is that really the best use? Is that the highest use? Is this the most noble thing to do here? So equality. And
So Lori, in the past, I know you've been invited to that. Into those conversations at, it's Princeton, right?
Right.
Yeah, were you invited in to be a part of this one, or?
He just sent me the invitation today, so I don't know if my schedule's going to allow it or not. We're always trying to get together. And David Miller, I tell people that if I had to send one man to represent Christianity, it would be David Miller. He is humble, kind, brilliant, bright, funny. I mean, he's just an amazing human being, and he loves dialogues. He really is a contemplative Christian, that non-aggressive and very winning in his ways.
Wow.
You got me really fired up.
Okay.
You know, my passion is, well, obviously one of my passions is, you know, just the marginalized and the disenfranchised, and, you know, as you're going on about the role of women in our financial institutions, in our organizations, and it's really a reflection of the status of women in society. It's reflected in women in churches and the glass ceiling that exists there, the proportion, and we've talked before about, as well in education, the proportion of women in higher levels of leadership as compared to the pool of women that are actually employees in the organization is very, very disproportionate. And so, you get me fired up about these things, and what are some ways that an individual can make a dent in creating equality?
Well, let me jump into that one too, Lori, before you unpack it. I was reading, doing some research the other day online, and several denominations that actually ordain and promote women in ministry or women in leadership.
And this particular denomination has, I don't even remember the numbers. I don't have them in front of me. But a good amount of pastors, 23% of them were female. But the interesting thing that these particular women were feeling is that they never, most of those 23% were not pastoring churches that were over 100 or 200 people, and that the men primarily dominated larger churches in the denomination. And so it's probably typical across denominations that that ordain women clergy. But what this group is doing inside this denomination is they are joining forces and looking at the inequity, right, of that representation, and beginning to meet and hold these forums and these dialogues and say, you know, this is not right. This is not equal. We need to take a look at it. And so I think it requires individuals whose mission, whose purpose, whose calling it is, you know, to stand on the shoulders of the giants that have gone before them and take that stand. You know, put that out there. Call the question, as we've talked about on this show many, many times. Who's going to call the question for that inequity? And I think it gets back to mission and being clear about what you're called to do. Some people are called to stand in that gap, and some people are not called to stand in that gap. They'd make a bigger mess of it than what it is. But I just thought that was interesting. And your question, Elisa, you know, how do we do this? How do we bridge, you know, as Omega leaders or teaching people to become Omega leaders, how they step into their fullness, into the measure of their creation, and move in power and grace to see equality happen. I think that it's one person at a time, or 10 or 20 or 100.
Well, yeah, and the whole principle of the Omega leader is to lead by example. So don't just tell others what they should be doing, but be the change you want to see in the world. And
sure.
I think, too, I was reading a study just 2 days ago that said that women have fared better than men in the economic layoffs, and they feel that a lot of that was because of education. Now there's, for every 100 men getting degrees, there's 135 women getting degrees. And so we're starting to see that in education. So knowledge is power. And that's why the Taliban do not want the little girls to go to school and throw acid in their faces, because education levels the playing field. So the best thing that anyone can do is to get educated and keep getting educated in their chosen mission field. Because, you know, that's one of the things I love about the business world, is that the business world, I think, is one of the most level playing fields. It's the most level playing field I've found, because if you have a good idea and it's going to make money, then the world will beat a door. You know, the world doesn't care. You know, you look at one of the richest women in the world, Oprah Winfrey, didn't start out with equity. She saw herself as an equal, and look at her now. I mean, it's so, and entertainment. She was in the field of entertainment and news and all of that. So Whoopi Goldberg's another example. So don't let anybody tell you that you cannot do something. And at the same time, be willing to address and call the question, like you said, Shelley. And not in a, I don't think in an angry way. I think anger is appropriate sometimes, but in a way that says, look, studies have shown that the village prospers when the women are given the financial power. Studies have shown that your company is going to perform better when you have women on the board, at least 3. Studies have shown. So you go into the earth mode instead of just the fire attack, and then which causes people to be defensive. And had a challenging day today, and I thought that it would be great if you could just share how you used your knowledge of the elements to tackle a situation differently this year than you did last year in addressing some painful things in the school system in California.
Hopefully after almost a year of having the privilege of sitting around this table having these discussions about Omega leaders, I'm learning a little bit about being an Omega leader, so I tried to put some of those principles into practice and learn by reflection today. Being the principal of an elementary school in Southern California that's facing the district that is a small district is facing over $8 million in budget cuts in the coming year, and just on my staff alone, just due to seniority and the nature of tenure in the state of California, two-thirds of my staff is listed to be laid off. And last year we went through a similar journey, not nearly as deep, and I was reticent to call the question. I was reticent to address the issue head-on, and as a result, there were a lot of elephants and tension on the staff, and what was once a staff that was characterized by unity, they started throwing each other under the bus, so to speak, because they were just desperate and scrambling for survival. So this year, when the issue came up again, I was determined to call the question. I was determined to be transparent myself and identify the elephants in the room. So that's what we did today, and it was very, very powerful, and I was sharing with Lori that thanks to the recent training that we're undergoing with the elements, was able to kind of have something for each element in the room. And so, you know, the fires were allowed to vent and to talk and to flare up a little bit. And the waters were recognized and they were allowed to cry and they were allowed to emote and express their sadness at the loss of their job or at the loss of their friend's job. The earths were allowed to get the facts and understand why what was happening was happening. They were able to get the facts. And the winds were also, they were able to express their thoughts and their questions and their concerns as they occurred to them through an exercise that we did. And it was very powerful as opposed to a year ago where I was overwrought with distress and care and concern, a huge burden. I was able to walk out of that staff meeting today with a greater sense of hope, a hope that my staff had hope, a hope in a better future for our students. And just like it's one, like Shelley said, it's one Omega leader making one difference following your mission. Then for us, their call is just to make a difference with one student at a time, regardless of the tragic circumstances that we face as a family.
Wow. So powerful. I wish you could have seen her at dinner. She said her stress level this year was a 3 compared to being a 9 last year, and yet it was very draining for her because she cares so deeply, and that is really what leadership is all about. Anybody can be a leader when things are going well and rah-rah and wow, you know, that's called a cheerleader. But the true Omega leader is facing the dragon, facing the losses, facing the difficulties and the challenges of the real world and saying, you know, we're going to go forward. And I loved how you used the example of letting every element addressing their equity in the situation elementally and that each one needed to express differently and get different facts. And this is the thing I want to teach elements more than almost anything else is whatever the situation is, to make sure that each element gets represented and a chance to speak. So, Vicki, look what your question started.
I know. Sorry. Sorry. It's all good. It's all good. Right?
Yeah. Where are the easy softballs getting tossed? But Shelley, thank you for calling in and for arranging this show. We were marveling at how little less than a year ago you had the vision. And we want to invite our listeners to really think about what is the difference between equity and equality, and can you have one without the other? And what are you, as an Omega leader, going to do about it when you see this not being equal or equitable, the situation in front of you? So blessings to you all. We go forward in truth and light, hope and love. Thank you, Shelley. Thank you, Vicki.
Thank you, Lori.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Blessings to you all. Good night.
Good night.